Parental advisory warning. Carlosophies, provoking thought and liberating people from their own bullshit since 2015. First time here? Hit subscribe. You'll want to stick around. Okay, it is the 21st of May, 2025, and I am standing behind the microphone in my recording studio, which I haven't done in months. I think my last voiceover job was probably March, which is a couple of months ago, and that is the longest I have ever been between voiceover jobs. It really speaks to where we are at right now. AI is exploding. I have watched over the last few years just redundancy after redundancy after redundancy at a job that I started because I needed some stability and security. And actually, I probably feel the least secure in my work than I wouldn't say ever, because, you know, if you've listened to my podcast over the years, you'll know that, like, it wasn't always smooth sailing in my business. But there's not the security that I thought I was going to have going into a job. And I think that's a not uncommon feeling right now, particularly if you work in a creative industry like I do. You know, one of the things that I put down, the fact that I haven't been behind the mic for a couple of months to do any voiceover work, is really that explosion of AI. I've noticed my work started to really drop off from around 2020, and it's been a gradual slide downhill ever since. You know, people can clone my voice if they want to use it and don't then have to pay me. They can type in the characteristics of the voice that they want and boom, free voiceover. So, you know, my industry is like dead, particularly in the space that I work in, which is, you know, I worked in educational voiceovers, so voices for learning. And, you know, and they can just, yeah, probably are using my voice. Brings up a whole bunch of ethical questions, right? Like, what are we doing? And, like, why are we not doing anything? Because as far as I can see, like, we are looking down the barrel at a huge unemployment problem, and no one seems to give a shit. You know, I just saw a video this morning or yesterday that Lisa Corduff. So I'm working with Lisa on, she's doing a podcast at the moment, which is well worth a listen. It's called This Moment in Time. And it's exploring, you know, climate change, AI, just the things that are impacting our lives in this really unprecedented time, or really uncertain time, you know? And yeah, she shared this video yesterday that was a doctor, and they were talking about how they'd spent decades learning their craft, and you know, that was an x-ray, and they were like, oh, you know, I would look at this x-ray and I would go, oh yeah, this looks like this, that looks like pneumonia, blah, 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 blah. And now AI can do it. So what are we going to do with all these doctors? And the same goes for lawyers, accountants. You know, these are white-collar workers who make good money. What are they going to do when AI moves in? Do they move out, or do they just become the people, you know, kind of like, I don't know, running the AI? So for me, it's similar. Like, it's also really come at the creative arts, right? Like, most of the stuff people are doing is photo creation. And that was my job. I was a photographer. I worked in photographics from when I was about 17 until I moved into radio. I think I was 26. So I spent almost a decade, well, actually longer, because I kind of did side hustles when I was at school, you know. I studied media and photography in my VCE. And then I went off to uni and I studied media arts, where I learned sound engineering and film production and video and photography. I majored in photography. And then, you know, being part of that industry, I've watched it change and evolve from the inside, because I was in it when we were having photo labs, you know, and still developing film. And we had a dark room in the lab that I worked in. We would print photos using, you know, like the old school dark room stuff. And then, you know, in the later 90s, I worked in a really big camera store in Melbourne, and I worked in the digital department. And this was when digital cameras were just coming out. So they were like terrible quality. Really, the only people who were using them were, you know, people who were doing dodgy shit, like child porn and shit like that. Yeah, so that was fun times. And then, you know, and then I moved into sales, and I worked as a rep for a multinational company. And before I went back and did a course in radio and decided to leave Melbourne and, you know, woke up one day, you may have heard this story before, woke up one day, was like, I was 25 years old and thinking, look, surrounded, I was in a sales role, so just surrounded by middle-aged men. I was 24, 25 years old and just could see this, my whole life in front of me. And it's like, is this what I want? Do I want to be spending my life in a car, you know, traveling around selling shit? Or like the furthest I'm going to go with this is like a national sales manager, which was like two steps up from what I already was. It was just like, this is not what I want for my future. And I'd always wanted to work in radio. I thought it was fun, but I just thought it was harder to get into. So I went down the photography route. And so after I left, the multinational that I worked for actually took their, like they basically just went back to an agency. So, you know, companies sometimes will set up an Australian company and trade directly with the Australian company. And then other, you know, multinationals, I guess, will just kind of have agents in the country. So the agents represent the product, but they don't work directly with the company that manufactures the product. They work as a sales agent, you know, so they're not holding on to stock generally. They're just kind of there making sales, and often for a company that has multiple different agencies. So they may sell, in the old days, they may have sold Pentax and Nikon and this brand of filters and this. So they would like get a whole bunch of contracts with these companies from overseas, and they would handle the Australian operations. I worked for a company that actually had an Australian arm within Australia. And then after I left, they basically made everyone redundant and moved to that agent model. And so, you know, I've seen in that industry these huge changes. I've seen things go from little family-owned camera stores, photo labs, and then a shift as I was kind of coming in the early 2000s through the land of sales. I saw a real shift from those little stores into the big, you know, monopolies, the Harvey Normans, the white goods people with no real sales skills or, you know, like years of experience and knowledge in photographics. They probably knew as much about a camera as they did about a fucking hairdryer, you know, but didn't stop them because they could bulk buy and really sell this shit out. And that's what they did. And as a result, all the little camera stores have disappeared. We don't really have, you know, every now and then you'll see a little camera store, but they're few and far between. And they're really specialist, I guess, now, but most of them are gone. And so, you know, from that, watching that happen, and this was, what, 25 years ago, or more, the last 25 to 30 years, to see where we are now is like, wow, you know, that was just one part of a small industry. This is going to affect every industry in some way. And I just find it fucking mind-blowing. Because, you know, I'm thinking about the future and I'm thinking, what is there in the future for me? Because my job as a producer, you know, most of those heavy lifting skills that I've spent decades practicing and mastering, like sound engineering and editing, are pretty much redundant. You know, I can take a shitty audio file, which used to require so much engineering, and plug it through an AI tool, like a free AI tool, like Adobe Enhance, and it'll do all the work, you know? So you can take shitty audio and turn it into something quite reasonable for free. Why would you pay an engineer $100 an hour when you can just 5 minutes plug it into a thing and not pay anything, you know? Like, so all of those, and even just like, you know, I had a session last night with someone and they asked me, about like naming episode titles, like how do I do that? What tools do I use? And I was like, my brain. I'm still using my brain to name episode titles. And no one else is. Show notes? Nah, no one. You know, there were people who were making a living doing transcripts. Well, that's not needed anymore. So as these things change and evolve, even just like the introduction of things like Canva, you know, where a designer used to pay a designer to develop, and unless you knew a program like Illustrator, which very people have those kind of skills, you would hand it on to a designer and the designer would do it for you, you know, and now you would pay hopefully decent money for that. And now people can, if they've got some basic understanding of visuals, they can put together their own graphics. And yes, granted, some of them are still really shit, but even now, like beyond that, now they can just type a brief into a fucking AI tool or an AI agent and voila, there's your logo created without even you having to understand design skills. So like, it's just made me think, what now? Because most of those hard skills just aren't required anymore. So yeah, it's made me think, what are those skills that I have that so far can't be replaced by AI? And at this stage, I think it's still just, well, a couple of things, my ear for one, and my humanness. So I've spent a lifetime, thanks to being autistic, studying people, understanding human behavior and how they're motivated, why they behave in certain ways, what is going to connect. I think this is what actually makes me a great producer, is taking someone else's voice, because I'm not great at it myself, as in like I have sometimes I have too much perception of myself, you know, that I get stuck in rumination, and in other ways I have no perception of myself. So while I can study other people, I don't necessarily have the ability to have that myself, if that makes sense. It's like I face out. From a human design perspective, I don't really talk and I don't really bring it into my work anymore, but from a human design perspective, I used to always talk about being a projector, you know, and the projector is here to see inside the other, but they can't necessarily see inside themselves. And that's how I feel. I can see inside myself, but I can't see what you see, you know, and that can be really tricky. And so, but what I am great at is looking at someone else and seeing, oh yeah, that's something that's really interesting about them. I can see that, like that thing they said, that could make great content. You know, that's really engaging. I can recognize that stuff. And so I'm really great at helping people craft content. It's the primary part of my job, is listening for those moments that are like, oh, this is something that people are going to connect with. This isn't moving the story forward. Let's get rid of that. Like, these are human decisions that I'm making based on an understanding of human behavior and what, you know, what triggers people. So, and I'm sure AI will fucking understand that in time. At the moment, I find unless you give it all of you, what you get back is really generic. And unless you're digging really, really, really deep, yeah, it doesn't, it just kind of gives you bland. And so I've been thinking about like how I can bring these kind of, so far AI isn't great at, skills to future opportunities for work. And I've been thinking about that from an employment perspective, but also, you know, thinking about maybe it is time for me to go back into my own thing. Because what I have found is that with a job, it's great from the consistency, the routine, the, you know, regular paycheck, all of that is great. But without the flexibility that I have in this current role, it's unmanageable for me. So what I mean by that is if this job turned full time, I'm not sure I would be able to cope from an energy perspective. So it would just probably be too much stimulation, and I would spend any time that I wasn't working on the couch, which was what my life was before self-employment. I would work during the week, and then on the weekends I would party and I would sleep. You know, I needed to have help, let's just say, to party. And then, yeah, and then I would sleep and I would just be like I was constantly exhausted. You know, I had, what do they call it, glandular fever at like fucking 19. And then I got over glandular fever. I went into a new full-time job and I got pneumonia. You know, like my body doesn't cope with really high workload levels where there's lots of stimulation. So the flexibility to be able to move things around, or, you know, like sometimes I might work 5 hours one day and three on my day off, just so that I can be, so that I can conserve and look after my energy. And most jobs don't really allow that. Not to mention most jobs don't offer part-time. They are full-time and 9 to 5. And that setup doesn't really work for me. So, yeah, so I've just been thinking maybe it's time. Like, I've been thinking it from two perspectives. One is, if I was to go for another job, if I was to think about my future as an employee, what would that look like? And what are those future areas of growth within those kind of organizations that I have, like skills and talent that I have that I can bring that are a good match for, you know, industries in growth areas? How can I translate that? Or how can I take all the things that I know and the skills that I've learned and go back into some form of self-employment? Now, I've got some ideas and I'm feeling good about those ideas some days. On other days, like today, I am questioning why the fuck I'm even bothering. Like, why? Why this is so hard, Carly? Don't you remember how hard, you know, how hard it was, the rejection, the, you know, the feeling invisible, the failure? Do you want that? Or wouldn't it be easier just to have a job? I don't know the answer, but I am keen to find out. So what I'm thinking is that I'm going to start, oh God, I'm just like, oh, I'm stopping myself from even saying this out loud because it feels so scary. And I'm just like, I'm just riddled with self-doubt. Oh, okay. So I've got this big vision. I'm not going to talk about the big vision, because I don't know, like at this stage, it's just like a loose idea. Oh, God, my inner rhetoric, the inner voice is out of control right now. I'm just going to take a minute to breathe. Okay, so where I thought I would start, oh my God, I'm even getting emotional. Where I thought I would start is two places. One is on socials. I've been thinking a lot for the last number of years about all of the work that I've done. And, you know, I feel like part of my reluctance is that I see people online and I think, oh, God, do I have to be like them to have success? You know, and I don't want to do things that way. But also there are some things you just have to do in order to have. And what I've been thinking to myself is, okay, Carly, if this worked, if the ideas that you have worked, would it be worth the discomfort that you're feeling and the self-doubt? Would it be worth just pushing them aside and doing it anyway and just allowing it to be whatever it is? Would that be, if it meant that 6-12 months down the track, you had something that was working and it was working for you and it was really uniquely aligned to your life, would that be worth, you know, like this fear and this, just crippling doubt? Would it be worth it? Here's the thing, right? I feel like for years, I used my podcast as a way to practice using my voice. And I have spoken about this in a previous episode, you know, my journey. I think I did one that was like the story of my voice or something like that. Now, what I want to do in the future actually has to do with this stuff, right? It is around voice, because voice is one area where I have spent a lifetime, you know, in my voice. There's a reason that I started Carlosophies in the first place, because I needed to practice using my voice. You know, I've spoken before when I was a teenager and I was working at Coles and they asked me to do the voice bit over the, you know, the supermarket announcements. And I was like, I really want to do this. I've always felt like I want to use my voice. And, you know, now they're asking me to have my voice broadcast across the supermarket. This is so exciting. This is where it all starts. But I would write it all out, like word for word. Welcome to Coles Supermarket's Kilsyth. You know, in our delicatessen, we have Virginian ham going out for $6.99 a kilo. And in our fruit and veg section, mandarin, emperor mandarins are blah, blah, blah. And then I'd close it off. Anyway, I'd write everything down because I couldn't just make a note. I had to write it and read it verbatim in order for me to feel comfortable in my voice. And then when I moved to radio, I did the same thing. I actually wrote out every single word that I would say on air, because I just felt going live, because it was live, radio was live, there were too many chances for me to fuck up. So I would write everything out, and that ended up being such a blessing because it taught me how to read and not sound like I was reading, which then led to a really successful long career as a voiceover artist, right? And lately, you know, and then I went on, obviously, and I walked on the beach for 7 years recording my free flow convos, just walking and talking to myself, jabbering bullshit, and then hitting publish, you know, and that built this confidence up in my voice. I felt like I could just hit record, and I was confident that something would come out and that something would have value to someone. And so I just continued to do it. And then obviously my life took a turn and I ended up just completely and utterly burnt out and recovering from, you know, trauma. And then found myself in a job. And in these last, 4 years, I feel like I've lost connection to my voice. And so now when I do a voice note, I fucking re-record it and re-record it and re-recorded it before like it's okay me pressing send. And this is to my friends. You know, I'll be messaging Lisa. Start again. You know, and it'll take me 3 or 4 goes until I hit send. And it's the same on my Instagram stories. Like I'm overthinking everything that comes out of my mouth. And I feel like I've lost all confidence in my voice, but I'm keen to get it back. And I'm keen to, because this is something that was common with everyone I worked with, had this like fear of, I don't know, like being perceived as whatever. Like, anyway, they all struggled. See, I'm having it now. I'm having it now. I'm like, you're too deep, Carly. Just fucking keep going. You can't stop now and re-record. Or you like, or even worse, just like stop and then this never goes out, you know? No, we're gonna move through this because it's part of what I'm going through right now. And I feel like if I can document this journey, I feel like I can come up with some ideas and strategies to help people who are struggling with the same shit, right? Which is everyone. But not just that. What I really want to do is work with people like in a co-creation kind of way. So really helping them identify what is unique about them, you know, building a really strong brand identity, which is, and I used to say this, I ran a workshop that was a podcast development workshop a few years ago, 4 years ago, actually. And it was around like developing your character. And it wasn't developing a character. It was actually just developing your character. So taking what it is that is unique about you and bringing that to the forefront. So that leads me, I guess, to where I am right now, which is in this space of I see two paths ahead of me. Well, there's three. One is unemployment and, you know, the line at Centrelink. Then we have on one side, which is going to be a fucking huge problem, let me tell you, in the future. And I am surprised that governments aren't more worried about this, because we're going to see economic collapse if most of the white collar workers of the world no longer can work, right? Like, I actually think there will be a universal basic income. If you haven't read Rutger Bergman's book called Utopia for Realists, it is so worth a read. I read it years ago and it's one of my favorite books of all time. I've mentioned it a stack of times, but it's about this, it's basically a thesis for, or an argument for a universal basic income. And it goes through all of the data and research over the years of various different places in the world where they've implemented this and what's actually happened as a result. But people think it's a very socialist or, you know, like kind of idea, communist idea. But like, honestly, I don't see how we can avoid that in the future if we want to. If we're going to stay in this capitalist paradigm, we have to be looking at our options, and that has to be one of them. Because, you know, what they did find in Rutger Bergman's argument is that when people have their basic needs met, then they can contribute and will contribute more. So we have this real mentality of, when people, you know, if people don't work and they're, you know, that handout mentality kind of thing where it's like, oh, just, you know, like it's because they're lazy, you know, they don't want to work kind of stuff. And it's like, well, but if what they find is when people have their needs met financially, they actually want to contribute and they do contribute. So it's a really fascinating book and well worth a read. Anyway, so that was a side tangent. So I see these few roads, unemployment in front of me. On one side, I see working in as an employee in some role that is kind of side related, but it, you know, still in that kind of creative industry, using my creativity, maybe in marketing or something like that, maybe talent management, something like that, right? And then on this other side, I see, and that's employment. And then on this other side, I see me just like actually giving myself permission while I've got a gig at the moment for the next 6 months, really until the end of the year, using that at this stage, using that time to build something for myself that I enjoy and that I can have fun with. And if that doesn't work, then I'll go back to the other route and, you know, and suck it up and get another job. Because actually, in a lot of ways, having this job has been so great for me. You know, it's been so great for my confidence in what I do. It's actually been really great to have that routine and structure, and to have a regular pay, you know, is quite good after 20 years of self-employment. You know, have your pay super paid and only have to do tax once a year. And it's all very simple and, you know, clear cut and clean. And I know what money's coming in, you know, like all of that really is helpful. But more so, it's, you know, I've had deadlines and I've had stuff that I've just had to do. I just have to do the work. And actually, I enjoy the work. Part of the reason I stopped doing it self-employment wise, because I had to spend so much time and energy finding the work that I loved to do. And fuck all time actually doing the work, because most of the time was spent finding the work. So that's not a bad path, you know, and one that I will consider when it comes to that time. But over the next kind of until the end of the year, what I want to explore is what I could create if I just like shut the fuck up inside my head. If I slowed down the harmful self hating rhetoric, what could I do? I think this image of myself that I have is flawed, and I'm getting emotional again, and I'm really fascinated by how our inner voice impacts our outer voice. And so that's kind of going to be the theme of what I'm looking at doing over the next few months, just really digging into these stories, the internal stories that I'm having around my voice and my ability to use it in positive, meaningful and fun ways that feel really, you know, natural for me. So one of the things that I have been playing around with is 30 Days of Cringe. So as a late diagnosed autistic ADHDer, that like I feel like I have just I have a pretty harsh inner critic, and I've struggled with my inner critic for most of my life. And there's only been certain points in my life where I've felt really free, and I would say that period before Miko's heart surgery, you know, the first half of 2021, I felt about as good creatively as I could. I just gave zero fucks. I was having so much fun creating content, creating art, learning new skills. I remember I went to pottery and, you know, and I did a lot of painting at home, and I was doing a lot of, you know, one-on-one work with people. I had been running Frequency, my podcast is Mastermind, and doing all that stuff, running retreats, you know, pre-pandemic, and workshops, and I loved all that shit. And I felt about as free as I felt in my expression of me. And why was I saying that? Oh yeah. But most of my life I have been I've felt not most of my life, because, you know, I'd say a good portion of my life, let's just say that. We don't need to get into the fucking semantics, do we? I have felt cringeworthy, you know, like I'm a bit of an embarrassment, I'm a bit lame, probably not that talented, you know, just like there's a lot. And I feel like it's not an uncommon thing to feel you're cringy, you know? Like if you have created anything, I think sometimes with years between what you've created, you look back and you're like, oh my God, that is so tragic, you know? Well, I have a lot of things that I cringe. And what I want to do is have some fun with that, like just bring this real unmasked version of myself, bring forward all of those things that I've found cringy and that I've hid away, and just kind of bring them forward. Last week I created a few reels And they were of me singing in the car along to a track. Now, I love singing. You know, if you've been here for a while, you'll know that because, you know, I think I took you to voice lessons and stuff when I was doing singing lessons. Like, I love singing, but I've never felt confident enough. I've always had this, you know, you're not good enough kind of thing going on. Or like people think you're shit, you're embarrassing, don't sing. And so I just decided to create those reels and I overlay them with little stories and stuff in text. Anyway, it felt actually quite freeing to do. And so I'm going to find, and the other thing I've been doing lately too on Instagram is sharing my outfit of the day. It feels fucking cringe as fuck. Like, who gives a shit, Carly? Like, when I hear myself saying something like that, like, who gives a shit, Carly? I'm going to do the thing. So this 30 days of cringe is, just me kind of bringing forth aspects of myself that I try to hide, probably sometimes unsuccessfully. But those things where I feel like that's not good enough, I'm just going to fucking do it. Because here's the thing that I think moving forward from here. More and more, we are going to be craving human connection, content that is actually created by humans. And this is an area where I really want to kind of be. I don't know what the right word is there. Like, I want to work with people on creating content. And sure, happy to use AI tools, but the content, it needs to be created by humans, not outsourced to AI. You know, like in terms of like what the ideas are and what the representation of that person is, because, you know, we can make clones and we can fucking now plug in a brief and have fucking some AI agent create like content that has you in it that isn't you. It's a clone of you. I don't want to create content that way. I want to create content that is authentically human. And so that's kind of what I'm experimenting with. The other thing I'm experimenting with is that, like I spoke about before, my relationship to my voice, really exploring this, because before, back in 2021, before the life change, I wanted to really kind of put myself in the voice space, like helping people find their voice. And when I say find their voice, what I mean is like excavate their relationship with their voice so that they could show up as freely as I was at the time. I even ran a program called Voice where we did that work. And then I just all the rhetoric got to me, all my internal stuff. That wasn't very good. People didn't get anything out of that. You know, like, who's going to want to pay you to do that? All that shit. And so I've just done nothing since then. Nothing. I mean, I've done things, just not my own programs and shit like that, because I haven't believed I've had value. So now I'm in this place where I'm like, well, fuck that. Let's just really, if this has been on your fucking to-do list for decades, which it has, let's fucking do it. You know, let's play. Let's see what we can create. Out of your own self-doubt, despite the self-doubt, alongside the self-doubt. So, that's kind of where I'm at. So on top of the 30 days of cringe, I'm looking at starting a new podcast, which will be an exploration of voice and having conversations with other, not exclusively neurodivergent, but I do want to talk to, because I feel like autistic and ADHD people have a lot of internalized ableism, a lot of internalized, voices and stories. And so like, and they're also often great creators, but they get in their own way. And so really having these conversations about what the voices are of some of my favorite people on the planet, some really great creators, how they continue to create, and kind of digging into what their relationship with their voice is like, over the years, what has changed about their relationship to their voice, and really just like a study in human voices. So Okay, I did it, guys. I did it. I hit record. I recorded. There were a few moments where I wanted to stop, and I didn't. And now you're listening to it. And that is a win. So I guess from here, maybe if you want to see how this is all unfolding, because also what I'm going to do is while I'm recording these 30 days of cringe, I'm going to be recording little reflections, which is what prompted me to hop behind the mic today. Because what I wanted to talk about was just how today I have felt the like throwing all of my brainstorming in the bin. Why bother, Carly? It's not going to work. No one's going to give a shit. No one's going to listen. You know, you're just wasting your time. It's going to be crickets like every fucking other thing you've done in your life. You know, all of this shit going on in my head. And I wanted to just get behind the mic and record something. And I thought I was going to record something for my new podcast that's coming. But instead, I'm here and I'm telling you there's going to be a new podcast. And I will let you know here when that happens. But I'll also be letting you know everywhere else. So if you're on my email list, then you'll hear about it there. If you're on my Instagram, you will hear about it there. I'm also going to be doing this stuff on TikTok. I have a handle, Carlosophy. So if you're a TikToker, you can go over there. I'm really scared about that because, you know, rejection sensitivity. Anyway, what I was going to say was as I'm going through this process of putting content out over 30 days and of cringe shit that I would normally tell myself, don't put that out there. The stuff that's on the cutting room floor, generally of my brain, I'm going to be documenting my own stuff with it. So, and I'm going to be somehow integrating that into the podcast that I'll be producing. The podcast that I'll be producing won't be coming out like in the next week. It's going to be, you know, probably a month of creation, maybe longer. Maybe it will never come out. Who knows? But I'm starting with something, and I'm starting with 30 days of cringe and then just recording what's happening for me, documenting the process that I'm going through, the things that are coming up for me, and then eventually that will go out somewhere. So that's it for me. Thank you for listening. It's been actually really good. I feel good. I feel like, wow, I'm not stuck in my, like, this is why I podcasted for so long. All of this shit lives inside my head, even with medication. You know, I can't get away from the inner rumination. But one thing that was always really helpful for me was the externalization of what's internal, you know, like all of those little voices, actually putting them outside of myself kept me really kind of, you know, that outlet of expression is really important. And so yay me. Fucking yay. And yay you for listening. All right. That's it. Peace. Want more me in your life? Head to carlinimmo.com or find me on Instagram at carlosophies. But honestly, the best thing you can do is tell a friend about this podcast. Until next week, peace out.